Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafil's Fantasy Podcast.
Well, Jeff, you know, it's been a while. This is, and was, and forever will be the Olafil's Fantasy Podcast. It's been, again, a couple weeks. COVID-19 has hit us hard. Sicknesses and poker games also hitting us very hard, but we do this for the people, Jeff, and it's good to be back. You know, we got Will, we got Jeff, we got more hurricanes and tornadoes approaching me as we speak. Weather, big factor in how long this podcast goes today, and in fact, something else as well. Home ownership, all that good stuff. But Jeff, I think we're here because the people are waiting for this March, April, May, dare I say June Madness tournament at the end. Does it ever record? No, it doesn't ever record. But we still have the final, the songs that are moving on, regardless if people hear the debate. We have the Elite Eight for those songs. But before we move on to all that, Jeff, I have to ask, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm glad we were able to make this happen. It's kind of one of those beautiful things when, you know, a little peek behind the curtain, we text, figure out scheduling, and it was just kind of like, I got tomorrow morning open, you got tomorrow morning open, let's jump on it. We thankfully already had a rundown ready to go for some last week shenanigans that didn't work out, but you know, we're here for the people. I'm intrigued. You know, I want to throw out a quick prop to you, Will, as you're kind of thinking about our Elite Eight and the Disney song, March, April, May, definitely June, tournament that we've got going. What comes back first, the NBA season or we finish our, you know, our tournament?
Wow. Welcome to the NBA midseason resuming pod. What I've been hearing is there's going to be an NBA season in Orlando, possibly. I don't know when it's supposed to take place. If I were to make a venture guess here, let's just pretend we're going to record next week, but again, it gets delayed. So then I carry the two. That means we're at like probably middle of June. You know, I think I'm going upset here. I think I'm going our songs. I think it'll be finished by the time. Oh, but yeah, you know what? I'm going the songs. They'll be finished by the time the NBA season resumes.
I think we can definitely make it happen.
I'm choosing. Oh, we will make it happen.
We can get two more pods in before the NBA comes back. Definitely before mid-July at this point. Although it does leave people. Oh, you just cracked something. Maybe a beverage of sorts. Maybe a sparkling of sorts. Who knows? Soda. Mm-hmm. I'm just excited to be here, Will. I want to talk TV. I mean, there's some NFL news. It is pretty doldrumsy, but I mean, I've been getting into some fantasy. I've been digging. We've been doing some philosophical exercises. Maybe not the analytics that people know us to be, on top of all the time. But we've definitely done some thinking, Will, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts on a bevy of topics today.
Bevy Ridge, bevy. One more peek behind the curtain. This is our. Listen. Those who have listened, those who have been critical of the quality of this pod, there are many of you. We've been trying to, you know, get with the times, and I think the servers have been just absolutely overloaded with people doing podcasts the way we used to do it. And you know, I want to say our first year was great quality because no one was using Skype, no one was doing podcasting across the country. But now that's all people do, and we've been hit hard. So we've been trying to move with the times, and we're trying something a little different today. So we'll see how it works. You know, if you hear some pauses between us, it's just because maybe our internet's trying to catch up with each other. Side note, my internet has been upgraded. Not because of the pod, but don't tell Ashley that. We are approaching the terabit per second, or whatever it is, on our internet. Got that fiber. But again, you know, just roll with us. This is the first time we're trying something a little different here, and we'll see how it sounds after this. The beverage you heard was a Truly lemonade. This is truly strawberry lemonade. Hot take, probably the worst one in the pack. Actually, it's not probably. It is the worst one in the pack. But truly has stepped it up because this lemonade pack, non-sponsor, of course, non-official sponsor. This is strawberry lemonade. Also comes with original lemonade, black cherry lemonade, and mango lemonade. The black cherry tastes suspiciously similar to the black cherry White Claw. But the original lemonade, truly, it's a certified banger. I mean, it's already climbing the ranks in my low-cal alcohol books. I mean, it's up there. We're talking top four, maybe? Top three?
Okay.
So good on you, truly. Stepping up your game. Actually has real juice in it, 1%, of course. But it still has some lemon juice in there. The only negative that actually has the same negative is it is made with stevia. So you get that, like, stevia aftertaste if you're not familiar with it. It's a very weird, like, dry mouth. I don't know. I think you know what I'm talking about. It's got a stevia aftertaste. Kind of just got to wash it down quick before you suffer with it. But, Jeff, I'm really burying the lead here.
That's for the stevia.
I've got a couple things. A couple little breaking news here. The first breaking news, order of business here. A yearly contract has been signed. It's been signed between myself and one Scott Peter Hammond. A yearly contract that will be taking place every year, Martin Luther King weekend in Las Vegas. It has been signed.
Oh, wow.
No matter what, we are making it a tradition. You know, people have these traditions. Oh, we always do round one March Madness in Vegas. Oh, we always do the Super Bowl somewhere, or, you know, we travel. You know what? You know, enough of your hooey. We're starting young. I mean, young as we can be. And we've already started last year. We had such a great time going to the South Point. When I proposed this contract to one Scott Peter Hammond, I asked him if he had any idea what I was talking about when I first proposed the idea of a yearly contract. And his response, he asked if it had to do with $1 hot dogs. And that is exactly what it is, because the $1 hot dog South Point Las Vegas special, the bucket of Bud Lights, the big, big, big screens there, that is what's happening. And I told him, you know, is it just going to be you and I on these trips? Or is it going to be wives? Is it going to be friends and family? Is it going to be a Kurt? You know, will Wild Kurt show up? It is all up to everybody else. Open invitations for everybody. But no matter what, Scott and I will be there Martin Luther King weekend for AFC-NFC championship, or, you know, possibly divisional weekend, because that'll float. That'll change probably every year. What say you, Jeff?
I mean, that's quite a contract to get on the books. Mm-hmm. I like where both your heads are at. You set it out. You put it into the world. I mean, TBD on whether it's been notarized properly or not, but making an official agreement. Wow. But I like where you guys head at. I like that it's put into the ether at this point, because we can start greasing the skids on our front. We can start making trades. Making
there's no excuse. There is no excuses in terms of. I didn't know about it. No. This is what gets thrown into the ether. Is there are 7 months of warning for other people? 8 months of if anybody ever wants to go, years ahead of time of warning. So.
Yeah, I mean, a lot will depend on the old cove, but my thought is, I think they're opening it up. You know, we'll see how it works. I mean, I've heard there could be discounted blackjack at, like, the Bellagio. You could be getting some $5 tables opening up, but who knows? You know, it could be, they could be prepping up for that. I mean, it'll be interesting, because what if the Raiders are in the playoffs?
Don't even tease. Remember, extra playoff team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They could be that seven seed.
Wouldn't they have made it this past year? I feel like
they would have been really – I think they would have not made it, but they, you know, they had Josh Jacobs. If he would have been healthier, I think they would have made it if they had him for this home, for that home stretch.
Yeah. No, that is breaking news. I will wait for the official documentation to come out. But like I said, we can disseminate this. Obviously, we have via the pod, open invitation. I think, you know, Vegas, I mean, it's a stretch for you. You're obviously the ally for us California folks. It's a very feasible location. It's not like you guys said, we're going to do a weekend in, I don't big sky country or something like that, where you're out cooking brats over an open fire, where it's a little bit more difficult for everyone involved. I mean, there's very limited excuses other than families and children on the California front. So I love it. Well, we'll see. Hopefully there's
we'll see if the
home ownership issues, power outages, things of that nature, Billiam.
We're moving on to this. So this the power outage thing just came up. I wrote in the chat 3 times in 6 days. But that's not what this is about. This is about the old flooring, the water leaks, the laminate getting destroyed, cabinets getting destroyed. It's good. It's always, you know, kind of a good and bad thing. The good, we're probably going to get a decently priced new kitchen out of this. The bad is we have fans and dehumidifiers all over the house, making a ton of noise. Our electric bill is going to be skyrocketing through the roof, even with these power outages. And of course, just the people here tearing out the old laminate and cabinets, which may or may not begin in the next 30 minutes to an hour. So that is where we might possibly have a sharp end to a pod. Not sure when they will be arriving. Hopefully after about an hour. But, you know, it is fun to own a house, and it is fun to kind of work on these things and whatever. But it's tough when you're trying to relate to the apartment renting heathens of your friends, saying, you know, oh, I got something going on right now. You know, we got this issue with our flooring. Like, oh, can't you just call the Joe Schmo to come fix it? And you're like, no, we got to go through home insurance, and then we got to get an assessor, and then we got to get the plumber to come out first and tell him that there's a problem, and then he has to report to the assessor. It's just this whole thing, because it's already been a week. And however, I wouldn't change it. I think it's awesome. Get ready to get welcome to that world, my friend.
2 quick points on that. First of all, you sound exactly like Mike Murphy when it comes to the homeownership talk. After every project, he's like, oh, I have this, you know, this palm tree whose roots are getting into my neighbor's yard and it's bowing our fence. And so we got to have some guy look at it. And she's like, oh, so when are you doing that? And his automatic retort is, do you see anyone behind me, Shay? It's just me. I'm the homeowner. I got to take care of this. And she's just like, okay, but when is the gardener coming out? And he's like, oh, yeah, Saturday. And I was like,
okay. Oh, my gosh.
What? So that's great. Love Mike Murphy. There's no one standing behind me. It's only me in this homeownership game. Also want to give a shout-out to your mom, Karen Soisman. I mean, we must have visited her home.
Oh, no.
Homes that she's working on. Nay, I want to say it's almost a year. And at the time we told her, these are a little out of our price range. She's been slanging us some emails. You know, she hasn't been over pushy. I've been very appreciative. She's been sending over some emails of homes that are like 200 grand more than what we already said was over our budget.
No.
And so I was like, this is a beautiful home, Karen. I appreciate it, but this is just a little out of our price range.
Are you sure they're not just automatic emails? Are you sure they're not some sort of, like, you know what I'm talking about? Just generic, or not generic, sorry, generated.
They're from her email with, like, pictures and, like, a nice little message and, like.
I'll get to the bottom of this. I will get to the bottom of this.
I don't mind them. Keep sending them over. They do. They kind of titillate Shay's fantasies and just like, oh, look how beautiful this place is. And I'm just like, no, Karen, no.
Wow. Oh my gosh. This is very exciting. The story you just told me about Mike Murphy reminds me of the Progressive commercial where it says, "Are you beginning to turn into your parents?" What you just told me resembles that commercial very much. So, are you familiar with those commercials?
Oh yeah, very familiar. I mean, I follow this Instagram handle. It's called The Dad. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's great. It's all about, you know, things similar to that, right? Like the Progressive commercial, becoming your dad, like dumb dad puns, dumb dad jokes, stupid things dads say. That. And I find myself becoming more and more like that. Like, let's get a move on, Kellen. Let's Like, let's make hay while the sun is shining. Stupid stuff like that. Like, he can't even understand what I'm saying, but it's just like, I was like, why did I say that? Sound like an idiot.
Oh.
Sound like my dad. No.
This is great. No, you're definitely, this has piqued my interest. I may follow it in the next 2 minutes on that Instagram. That's exactly what I want to hear. Before we move on to TV, I do have one last nostalgic trip down memory lane, and that is Tony Hawk. The video games Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2. Just a magnificent time in video game history. These games are getting completely remade. I mean, you're talking updated graphics. Everything combined in one nice little package. The music, all but like 4 or 5 songs coming back. Of course, one of them is one of the better songs. I think it was an Anthrax song. I'm trying to think of what it was. It was some sort of a hip hop rock collaboration. Bring the Noise. I already know it's called Bring the Noise. Bring the Noise.
I love that.
That's
song.
The only one though.
You could put it on your radio. Bring the Noise.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, but you got Gorilla Radio. You got, you know, of course, Goldfinger. Cool. You got Mill and Colin. You got CKY was in Tony Hawk 3. You know, whatever. You got all the bangers. Power Man 5000, I believe, is back. Great songs. Any thoughts on this? Because this is a day one purchase for me. The nostalgia is just going to flow through me. The soundtrack, I mean, you can't even think about Goldfinger Superman without thinking about Tony Hawk.
I love Tony Hawk. I think I'm going to get it.
Thank God. I wasn't sure where you're going with
those games. It's one of those games, like, you just get into for like an hour and your mind just goes, mm-hmm. and you find yourself grinding insanely long rails and jumping over, like, I don't know, 18 stairs, and you're just doing crooks, and you're just, you're just loving every minute of it. And to your point, that was, I don't know if it was the first, but it was definitely, you know, the soundtrack, which is something you don't see much anymore. Like, it's all about the cinematics and the cutscenes and the sexy graphics, mm-hmm. but it was like the soundtrack was almost as powerful as the gameplay and mm-hmm. you know, what you were actually controlling. It was like, oh, I want to put this sick jam on. I want to grind this rail and I want to do something that's extremely outlandish. But I loved Tony Hawk because it was a balance. Like, you could treat it real, but then there were also kind of modes where you could just go completely insane, which I felt like it was one of the first like open world games too, which was awesome. So mm-hmm. I'm intrigued. I'm rambling here just because I'm excited. And I listened to a podcast, the Joe Rogan podcast with Tony Hawk, and just kind of heard his story again. So it was kind of,
yeah,
it was kind of awesome to reminisce, because he credits the game as like, even before the 900, that is what not only put him on the map, but re-cemented skateboarding as, you know, part of the culture.
I just heard Tony Hawk on the Levitard show, and I don't know if he told this story on Joe Rogan. Did he tell you about, or did he tell you, well, yes, did he tell you, Jeff, about Activision and the video games they tried buying him out and saying, like, hey, we'll pay you. Okay, so the long story short is, after the second game, they saw the success of it and said, we will pay you $500,000 right now. If you just, you know, like a buyout, we, you know, more royalties, blah, blah, blah. And he was only like 25 or 30 at the time. Well, let's see, this is 20 years ago. So he was about 32 at the time, 31 or 32 at the time. And he said he thought about it. It was $500,000. And the only reason he did not sign it was because he had just gotten some endorsement deals with, you know, certain skating companies and stuff. And he was he was living fine. Like, they had just bought a house. He wasn't rich by any means. And he says it was the smartest thing he's ever done in his entire life. He said he wouldn't give an exact amount of money, but he just said if he would have taken that $500,000, he would have lost checks that were worth many times more than that. So he is very happy that he did not take that deal because of how long this video game series and just kind of what it's brought to skateboarding in general and, of course, to him. Very interesting to note.
Yeah, no, I think it was a really interesting conversation. I recommend people, yeah, go listen to a pod.
He's just a nice, I mean, he just seems like he's just a good dude, Tony Hawk. He's just
totally.
Gosh, just, I guess he's a really good follow on Instagram too.
He really just does it because he, for as cheesy it is, the love of it, right? Like,
yeah,
the financial success really came second. It was just about like mm-hmm. the culture and being with the, you know, just doing what you loved, right? So I think that
I know this is the Tony Hawk pod, but he also told a story. He was on Wild Boys and he wished he was never on that show because that's he did a stunt where he dressed up as a gorilla and did the circle loop on a skateboard and
yeah.
it went wrong and he fell and he broke his pelvis. He broke his pelvis yeah. and his skull. And he's like, that's one thing I wouldn't do again. All the yeah. chicanery on Wild Boys. Tony Hawk, good dude.
Which was actually crazy.
You go.
The Tony Hawk pod continue. No, I mean, well, this will be my last point is like he, for as crazy of stuff that he did, his body like actually held up surprisingly well. Like that loop was by far his worst injury, he said. But other than a couple like broken ankles here or there, like he didn't have any major knee surgeries. He didn't have any major leg breaks. It was kind of crazy that, you know, obviously he probably has some brain trauma, but I mean, what action sports person doesn't at this point? So Tony Hawk, great guy. I mean, whew, I mean, come back to us, unofficial, you know, superstar.
I could go on about skating, but I'll put it in the notes for next. Let's just keep it moving here. Let's get to some television, some movies, whatever it is. Get at me here. I know you have What We're in the Shadows, anything else or What We Do in the Shadows. You want to start off with that? Are you binging anything else? Come at me.
Right now, we've finished, as he wrote down, Dead to Me. We finished Dead to Me. It was good. What We Do in the Shadows, staple. Defending Jacob. I don't know if we hit this on the last pod, but I was running with my phone and it tripped over a bush trying to socially distance myself from some people. And so I had already cracked my front screen. And so then after I fell, it came out of my pocket and the phone just died. So I had to get a new phone. Luckily I had an upgrade, but they also give you a year of Apple TV for free.
Yep.
So Defending Jacob's on Apple TV, which I wouldn't say it's good enough that if you don't have Apple TV, you need to get it. But if you find yourself with a subscription, check it out. It's got Chris Evans, Captain America. You know, it's just kind of an interesting, it's not like a true crime. It's more like a drama with some crime aspects to it. So really interesting. One more episode left. They didn't do it the Netflix style where they released everything at once. They're doing the weekly rollout, which we can get into in the philosophical streaming binge pod. So that's me. What We Do in the Shadows, last episode, Will. I know when we last left our listeners, we had probably one of the, some would say the best What We Do in the Shadows. I wouldn't go that far. Definitely one of the best bits, I would say, of What We Do in the Shadows.
Was this the Colin episode or the one after that? Because I don't think we talked about, we did. Did we talk about that one? I don't remember if we did.
We didn't. I mean, we talked about the Colin one, but because you said you have an energy vampire at Shake Shack, at least.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So we did not talk about what I think. I understand what you're saying. Okay. Keep moving. Keep it going. Sorry. Cut you off.
But I think we can agree that that was a great episode. I want to get your take on this past episode with Nick Kroll and the feud over the hat kind of coming back. I felt like it had some really funny parts. Like, I laughed out loud a couple of times. But overall, the episode was kind of just like, you know, not a whole lot. Didn't do a whole lot for me. And I feel like that's been maybe the theme of this season. Like, I don't know. Let me know your takes. Well, now I'm rambling.
All right. So let's backtrack a little bit. So the episode you were referring to was 2 weeks ago. Was the Mark Hamill? He was a vampire who was out to get rent that was not paid to him by Laszlo, and Laszlo ends up fleeing the city and goes to a place called Pennsylvania because it sounds like Transylvania, and he becomes a bartender named Jackie Daytona. And my hot take about that episode, whether you call it a bit or an episode, is it might be my favorite episode of What We Do in the Shadows. I think it is the best episode, actually, in two seasons. Now, to go along the theme with season two of the love-hate or the meh, it kind of fits in perfectly because the rest of the season has been, you know, whatever. So to have this, what I think, Mount Rushmore episode throughout this season is kind of with the whole theme of love-hate, because I loved that episode, the season, eh, whatever. This past episode, it was definitely kind of weird. It was Colin trolling people, which was very meta. Online internet trolling, that was kind of, you know, okay. And then, yes, we had the Laszlo storyline again of his hat. Nick Kroll, I don't know how you feel about Nick Kroll. I mean, again, to go with the season two theme, love-hate. I'm very hit or miss with Nick Kroll. He's got some funny things. He definitely got oversaturated for a bit once he was on the league for so long. He was kind of popping up everywhere. But I enjoyed the episode. I thought they had some funny moments. I thought Elvis was funny. A little Elvis cameo in a big spot in season two.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't call it a favorite of mine. It definitely kind of came back down to earth after what I thought was the highest point in What We Do in the Shadows history.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I will have to give the episode another watch, and I will also have to give When the Baron Goes to the City, because I think those are going to be have to be, you know, a little head-to-head matchup if we ever do a tournament, if we ever get to our current tournament. But yeah, I think Laszlo is definitely a shining star this season, in definitely some of his random bits. Nick Kroll, his show, The Kroll Show, to your point, is, I think, spot on. Like, there are some of his bits that are, like, hilarious. And there are other bits that were recurring that they did several episodes of that I was like, there is not one part of this that makes me laugh.
Oh, no.
And that's fine. Maybe some other people like it. But there are Kroll Show episodes that I go on the Comedy Central app and watch, and, you know, then
really
gig. So yeah. Comedy Central app, really, it's pretty positive. You can, any like old show, you can pretty watch every episode. Like, I don't know about South Park, but I know like Kroll Show and Chappelle Show, they at least have all the episodes up. So there you go.
I mean, I little Kroll Show podcast. Big Mouth, that's his show on Netflix as well. Never really got into that. Apple TV also got that on because I bought the new iPhone SE. You know that one, whatever.
Ooh, yep.
So yeah, I've been thinking about adding that Apple TV yearly subscription. Not sure what's really grabbing me there. The last thing I want to talk about binging. Scooby-Doo, all right?
We're talking old or new Scooby-Doo here.
We're binging Mystery Inc., which is the kind of like 2012, I think it was 2012, 2013, two-season run of Scooby-Doo. It's on Netflix. More hip. It's kind of like, you know, that little hip, darker version of Scooby-Doo. And I have to say, I'm a big fan of Scooby-Doo. I think, you know, we watch... Ashley loves, you know, watching Dateline and, like, these kind of mysteries, right? Real dark, like, who did it? The husband, the wife. Well, watching Scooby-Doo, every show's a mystery. I mean, it's a little 30-minute, you know, 22-minute who did it kind of thing. Now, some episodes are kind of super obvious. Some episodes, I mean, I remember the very first episode I watched, I had no idea who the bad person was. It totally came out of left field. And I was like, oh, my God. But the clues were there. They were right in front of you. I'm big fan because, you know, they released Scoob on demand. It was supposed to be in the theaters, but of course COVID really took that out. Still haven't bit the bullet on that one because it is a $20 rental, which, I get it. It was supposed to be in the theaters. I totally understand. You're spending more money at the theater anyway when you could rent it for $20. I get it. But I will wait for that price just to drop a little bit. But have you ever introduced Kellen to Scoob? I guess Scoob is a little bit older there. Definitely got some frightening moments, so you probably want to wait a couple. You had Matthew Lillard, Freddie Prinze Jr. You got some really big stars. Linda Cardellini, by the way. I mean, hello, she's Velma. She's also in Dead to Me. There it is, wrapping around in a big circle. Any familiarity with Scooby-Doo at all? Or do you want to just bypass and move on?
No, I mean, I think... I don't have I do not have any hot takes. We have not introduced Kellen. I think it's a fine cartoon. I don't know. I can't even remember anything about the movie other than the cast that you said, Will. But one more thing on the streaming service, Will, on the, mm-hmm. the topic of shows. Lovebirds on Netflix. I don't know if you and Ashley watched the movie Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina mm-hmm. Fey. If you liked that movie, I would check out Lovebirds. It's essentially the same storyline, but just kind of refreshed for today. So if you haven't seen it, it's a good kind of just date coupley movie. When
it's with the Indian guy, right?
Yeah,
Kumail Nanjiani, that show?
I think.
Yep.
From Silicon Valley.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. So let's check it out. Is it a series or is it a movie?
It's just a movie. It's a movie.
Okay, gotcha. All right, might have to check that out. This has been a 40-minute pod so far on TV and Tony Hawk and owning a house.
Yeah.
Let's get into. Shall we move on to something?
Let's just go to the fantasy over under him or him. I like all right, this game.
Yeah, who cares about NFL news? Bundesliga, you know, whatever. Okay, let's move it on to fantasy. You said you've been doing some mini analysis. I have this little game for us, and of course you have your own stuff down below. Also, I tried my best to make these very, you know, hard. I think they're kind of hard. There's a couple that are very hard in my opinion, and some that are laughable in terms of just ADP, maybe not about who you would rather have. But this is a 12-team fantasy 0.5 PPR. Now, the reason we did 12 teams and 0.5 PPR is that is what our yearly NFL fantasy league is. And I wanted to kind of look at it as soon as possible, or, you know, this is more relevant now because there has been the NFL draft. Fantasy drafts are actually kind of getting underway, or at least mock drafts are. So this is as recent as can happen. So I like this. I think this is a good indicator of where people are actually going to be drafted. Jeff, let's just get right into it. Would you like to kind of offer up the first one, or is there one that stands out that you want to go after?
I think there are a couple, but the first one's interesting to me because it touches on a player that, you know, has been on my mind.
Yep.
I think I are high on this guy. And it also includes a player that should be near and dear to my heart. Dak Prescott in the 6th or Kyler Murray in the 5th. Now, I tend to subscribe to wait as long as possible on quarterback, be one of the last, pick up two guys and just stream it and hope for the best. That's when I'm paying attention. If I draft Matt Ryan in the 5th by auto draft, then, you know, we got to roll with those punches. But this is an interesting time, just given the fantasy landscape, maybe depending on your team. If something, you know, if you don't see good options at running back and you can wait on wide receiver, maybe I think about a quarterback here in the 5th or 6th round. 5th for Kyler Murray seems a bit high given, you know, he was obviously trending more positively at the end of last season. Dak Prescott getting the bones, becoming the man. He's got Andy Dalton on his back. But 6th round seems a bit high for him. If I were to do this, I would probably go Kyler in the 5th just for the upside and then grab someone, I don't know, like a Big Ben just in the last round just to have if it doesn't play out. But I think I know where you're going, so let the people know, Will.
Do you – when you're saying too high, what does that mean?
You're saying
6th round is too high. Does that mean early or late?
That means early. Sorry, too high in the draft order. I would probably if this was like an 8th, 9th round, I think it's, you know, realistic to me drafting them in upcoming drafts. But just having a perspective on it, I'm higher on Kyler Murray from a ceiling perspective than I am on Dak Prescott. I think Prescott will be consistent. He's got the weapons. And I don't think you can go wrong with him in the sixth. I don't think we've seen the ceiling of Kyler Murray. And so I'm not saying he's going to be the top quarterback, but I think he has top three upside. Whoa. I think Prescott's upside is maybe top five.
Wow. I did not know you were going that way with Kyler Murray. I thought you were going the opposite of that.
No.
Before
that
we started recording.
Like I said, I think he's going to end up, Kyler Murray, as a top 10 option.
Check the tape. Check the tape. You literally just said top three upside.
The Cognoscenti tell me he's got the top three upside. Okay.
I'm going to have to check the tape on that literally 8 seconds ago. We'll have to replay the tape and listen to that. So my take on Kyler Murray is I'm not on that hype train. Ooh. I like some of the weapons, I guess. I mean, yeah. I mean, the reason I chose Kyler Murray is because of DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah. Because of what they did with a player that's coming up in our list for, you know, three sentences down. But I don't know. I think, yes, he was a rookie last year. He did not have any weapons last year. You're kind of relying on DeAndre Hopkins and Christian Kirk and then obviously Larry Fitzgerald to kind of be that safety valve. He doesn't have an offensive line still. They drafted some players. They're getting guys back from injury. I mean, they were still a pretty bad team. Like, people are saying they were good, and, you know, they were good down the stretch. But, I mean, it's a team that tied with the Lions. I mean, they lost, what was it, three or four fourth-quarter leads. Yeah. That doesn't all just happen because of the defense. That also happens because the offense doesn't extend drives or make plays. Dak Prescott in the sixth round. So when we're going upside, I think he has the upside of someone like Deshaun Watson. That's upside, of course, not guaranteed value. And I think his downside is a top 10 quarterback. Like he's not gonna come in on your team and get you 9 points. Like, unless they just, as a team, they just get destroyed. He's got tons of weapons. I think they have a lot to prove. I think Mike McCarthy has something to prove as a coach who, you know, not only has he gained a bunch of knowledge, he's gained a bunch of weight, but he's ready to rock. I mean, he's ready to just kind of make this happen, you know, for Jerry and Dak. So, I mean, yes. Would you rather wait on all these quarterbacks? For sure. But as you can see on this ADP, and as a little tease, I can kind of say, like, would you rather go for Dak Prescott in the sixth round or take David Johnson? Like, I don't know. Like, that's kind of weird. That's the kind of, you know, people you're kind of looking at when you're getting to that sixth or seventh round. But I think I'd rather have Dak in the sixth round, spend my fifth round pick on a wide receiver or another running back. So that's where I'm going with those two.
Yep. Want to hit this one, Will, because I think it's a divergence of your opinions, if I know you well. Matt Ryan in the seventh or Oof. Baker in the ninth. Do you hold hope for that first season Baker, that rookie season where he showed promise, the Stefanski there, you know, the new offense coming in, new weapons to help him out. Matt Ryan, the tried and true robot, you know, never going to destroy your team, never going to win weeks for you. He's always going to be in that 15 to 22 points. Baker could drop a two on you. But there is that two-round difference, I think, for that reason. Whew. Where do you go?
Man, who picked this? I mean, this is a great one. I don't know who. You know, this is – what a question, huh? Oh, man. Yeah. This is really tough. I've never been a Matt Ryan – Stan, but
we're too young for that word. We're too young.
Absolutely not. In fact, I'd say I invented that word, but that's another time. I think I like Baker in the ninth, and I'll tell you why. When he got Kareem Hunt last year, when they got him back after that, eight game suspension, I believe. I think that offense started to click a little bit better. Not that Chubb obviously can't be that guy, but having Kareem Hunt be that last little, you know, dump off or even the playmaker that they go to as a designed play, helped ease some of the tension off of Baker. Getting a tight end that isn't hurt every four plays to take over for David Njoku, who actually they still have, I believe, which is kind of interesting. They have Njoku and now Austin Hooper. And you just mentioned it, Kevin Stefanski. They have an offensive coordinator, well, a head coach, who is a proven offensive coordinator who can kind of excite you and excite the team. Now, if I were to obviously do this, I would do Baker in the ninth, and then I would get someone else kind of boring in the later part of the draft. Maybe a, I don't know, like a Phillip Rivers or, yeah. Gosh, I
that's immediately who my think mind of someone, Ryan,
yeah, Fitzpatrick maybe, or even maybe, because I don't know where Tua's going. I don't want to go crazy there. Just someone who's gonna get you that 12 points, like you said, in case Baker does kind of peter out. But I think I'm going Baker in the ninth round. I've never been a Matt Ryan guy.
Yeah, I think, again, it comes back to the team and where you are in your draft. If you have a lot of, you know, high variance, you know, uncertain guys, maybe a lean Ryan, but even the seventh, you probably are looking to get depth at wide receiver and maybe start thinking about handcuffs in the seventh. Baker in the ninth, I think, is good value because I think he has upside of a top 7-8 quarterback, but you know, the downside is, to your point, you're probably starting Phillip Rivers for a couple weeks until you really see it from Baker. So it's just that balance of what do you need for your team. Yeah, I'd probably lean Baker just because I think there's good value there later in the draft. Want to come back to something you said, though, Will, as a quick aside, now that we're, what, are we 40, we're 42 minutes into the pod. Stan, and you claim to have invented that. Not on that topic, but related. I haven't been on Facebook in years on the mobile app, and I was trying to find a photo, and I have no idea how to get to the photos that I posted on Facebook. So I'm searching, and I come across this group that was started, I want to say 07.
Oh no. I already know.
Don't steal our terminology.
Our lingo.
Don't steal our lingo. And I scroll down. I was just like remembering old times. And there's a post from you that in all caps just says, Bako Bits. And it gave me a good giggle. We also need to have the commish on because I think he claims to have invented late, which, you know, that,
ooh,
that, not obviously not the word, but how it's used in the late, context. So,
wow.
Rich Lee also posted about 18 times on that group, which I don't remember that aspect of our life. So it was great.
Wow. What a trip down. I thought you were about to say someone said Stan in that chat. Lots of stuff in there that we could probably find. I mean, what a deep dive that is. We'll get to the Stan pod later, but what Bako Bits? I mean, make sure that's happening. On this next one, I'm going to go to, I mean, there's a lot here. Whew. I mean, one of my personal favorite ones is, no, I mean, they're all my favorite. I picked them all. Let's just go next one here. Miles Sanders, a dude who's one of nine running backs on the Eagles in the second round. I mean, what is happening there? I don't know what's going on. I said late second, so it could be late second, early third. It was very, like, it was like the last pick of the second round. Or Kenyon Drake in the fourth round. The guy who had a fantasy season to remember. Sean Donahue remembers it fondly. A dude who pretty much scored 400 points in four games. Where do you stand on the Kenyon Drake hype, since you think Kyler Murray is going to be a top three quarterback?
You know, I think Kenyon Drake is going to be someone you're just kind of fine with, and you're going to go into the season thinking, okay, this is my RB2. I probably have good wide receivers. I hopefully have a stud number one. If you're going in with Kenyon Drake as your RB1, I don't think you're going in great. I think there are a lot of weapons. I think they're going to spread the ball around. I think there is talent there. He proved that he can, you know, put up points. Is he an RB1? I don't think so. Him in the fourth, I don't hate. If you're kind of following, I have like a super, like I have a McCaffrey 2 stud wide receivers, and I come back with Kenyon Drake. I would love him in my flex, just because there is a little bit of unknown, and that's where I'm leaning. Miles Sanders in the late second, early third. Having owned Miles Sanders last year, I understand it's recency bias. End of last season, he really picked it up, but I'm not rolling with him as my RB1. Even having him as my RB2, I would feel uncomfortable, and therefore I'm never going to get him. If he was my flex, I'd feel okay. Obviously, Boston Scott, the only piece there. You know, what if Devonta Freeman sides there? Then it's like, oh, our running back by committee all over again. Miles Sanders, what does that mean for him? We know the Eagles like to do that. So I'm going Kenyon Drake here. He's not a guy who's going to, you know, blow the doors off my barn, but he's a fine RB2, low-end RB2 flex guy for me.
I hate both of them, so I'm just, this is a question for you. All right, next one, let's go on to some two old stalwarts. One would call him a stalwart of 10 years, one would call him a stalwart for a year and a half, both going pretty late. David Johnson in the sixth round, or Todd Gurley, Matt Ryan's best friend right now, in the seventh round. What say you, Jeff?
I go Gurley. I mean, I think that's great. I don't know where you got these ADPs from, but I'd go Gurley all day here. I mean,
Wait. Let's just hold the phone. Are you calling me out? What does that mean? Where do I got these ADPs? I went to the normal, the old fantasy, what's it called? A calculator or something? I'll find it right now. You know what? You keep going. If you're calling into question,
not to trash that, but I mean, if I'm getting Gurley in the seventh, I'll take that all day and twice on Sunday. Mm. Because, I mean, last year I drafted him in, I think he was my first overall pick or my second pick. Wasn't great, but I mean, if I'm getting him in the seventh and he turns out to be a top 15 running back, I think as we get closer to fantasy seasons, Will, you'll find that someone like a Todd Gurley versus a lot of the other options, like, am I Todd Gurley or Miles Sanders? Like, come on now. Even an injured Todd Gurley, I think there's a little bit more safety there. Gurley versus Kenyon Drake, again, I'm probably going Gurley. So if I'm getting him in the seventh, yes, he's injured. He will be a shell of his former self. But last year, even despite everything, despite the offense kind of sputtering to a halt, I believe he was still a top 15 running back, if not top 10. So not to call out your ADPs, but give me some Todd Gurley in the seventh all day, baby.
I am right here on fantasyfootballcalculator.com. It is, I have gone through the last, now I just narrowed it down. In the last week, they have looked at 5,800 mock drafts in the last 2 months. So I don't know how many has been in the last week. But in the last week, right now, Todd Gurley, average draft position, 7th round, 8th pick, 78th overall. And then we are at David Johnson. Now he is 5th round, 12th pick. So, I mean, that's 6th round. I mean, that's 61st pick overall. I'm looking in half PPR, 12 teams. So don't call into question any of this, all right? You know what? I'm getting a little sick and tired of this, okay? Sorry that I did the deep digging here. David Johnson in the sixth round. I think I'm going David Johnson, and only because, I mean, both of these values are so similar. Gurley, again, I don't know if he has the body of a 90-year-old man. Not sure where that's headed on that. I get it. He scores touchdowns. So is he touchdown dependent? Maybe. And is that Falcons offense going to be that good where they get close enough where he breaks off a 3-yard run for a touchdown? Maybe. But they still have Julio and Calvin Ridley to get those long plays and possibly those long touchdowns. So I just don't know if I can count on Gurley to get a 15-yard touchdown, a 10-yard touchdown even. David Johnson, it's more of the mystery, which kind of intrigues me. Can he be just awful? Yeah, I mean, probably. But to have Deshaun Watson with him, I think, kind of makes it kind of exciting. And that Texans team is just all over the place. That could they go 1-15 or can they go 13-3? I mean, who knows? Because their psychotic head coach, general manager, is just that. He is the Dr. Wily, give me a little Mega Man ref in a big spot, of head coaches right now. So I think I'm going David Johnson just for the intrigue.
Yeah, I mean, Todd Gurley was the number 12 overall running back on overall points. His points per game put him inside the top 10. You know, potato, potato. Johnson probably has more upside. I don't think you can go wrong with either at these values. And to be honest, as we get close to the season, like I said, I don't think those are going to stay. I think those are going to get pushed up to probably at least the fifth round, if not sooner.
Yeah, probably.
But I would lean Gurley as more of a known quantity. But again, it's all about roster construction. What do you need? Do you have a couple safe guys and you want that high upside flex option in David Johnson that, you know, you could just have an absolute stalwart core? I don't think you can go wrong.
Let's do one of the following wide receiver ones. We got it. We're really getting here. We still got it. If we keep doing this, we'll never finish this Disney songs. Pick one of the three that I wrote down there.
I think the Thielen Diggs is probably the most interesting. Mm. Like, if I listen to another fantasy podcast that talks about Calvin Ridley as an analytics darling, I'm probably going to just bash my head against the wall. So I don't want to go into that. So Thielen versus Diggs is kind of an interesting conundrum, Will, because you have Diggs, new team, a little bit of unknown. Well, I would say probably the more talented athlete. Definitely a different skill set from a wide receiver perspective, but I would lean a little bit better overall from as a wide receiver in Diggs on a new team. With, we can get into the quarterback debate versus Adam Thielen, who, barring injury, is a pretty safe option at the wide receiver position, you'd think. Mm-hmm. And now with Diggs out, the top option cemented there. So where do you go, Will? Because I know you're you're kind of a Diggs guy, yeah?
I'm a Diggs dude, 100%.
I'm a Diggs.
I'm kind of worried about Adam Thielen. I am Diggs dude. I'm kind of worried about Thielen right now to be that lone guy in Minnesota. When Thielen was out, Diggs was that lone guy, and he didn't totally disappoint. Did he have games where he had two catches for 12 yards? Yes. But he still did show up in certain spots and got you those big games. They're not having that, you know, Kevin Stefanski guy in Minnesota anymore. Kirk Cousins, he's Kirk. I mean, who knows what he's going to do. Diggs with Josh Allen, you know, you're going to get four overthrown balls a game, but you're going to get one right on the money. You're going to get one that's just pure pristine, just Chantilly cream. In the breadbasket. Diggs, I think this Bills team, I mean, we went over a million uniform changes that's happening. Can I just say, I think the Bills have the best uniforms in football. I love that they have like that kind of baby blue. They got that clean white mixed with that blue, and their helmets are just mwah. And I just love watching them play. I think Josh Allen is exciting. I think with Diggs and John Brown, I mean, those are two dudes who are just going to absolutely speed by you. And I love Diggs. And I think if I can get him this year, I mean, spoiler alert, I think I'm going to try to get him. He might disappoint. I can see it. I can see both of these actually be. I think the odds are both of them are busts, then both of them succeed. But if I'm going to roll with them, I think I'm going to roll with Diggs.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think Diggs has, I mean, we've kept talking about it. I think the floor is going to be a little bit unknown, but we know the ceiling. We know the possibilities with Josh Allen and those deep Chantilly cream specials right in the breadbasket. Diggs, he's going to be, you know, we I don't think we've spoken about it on this pod, but in previous pods, fantasy is also about the watching experience. And as much as I like watching Adam Thielen catch 3-yard out routes, I'd much prefer a 25-yard slant one time in a game to Diggs, where he just takes it to the house and just makes your fantasy weekend. And you just sit there and you just say, "Ah, oh, I love you, Stephon Diggs. I'm a Diggs dude."
Diggs dude for life. DD4L, dude. all right. Those are some over-unders for that. Now let's, I mean, what's on our
Can
mind?
We make Diggs dude
what's
a
on
thing?
Our mind is some fantasy. It's already a thing.
Okay.
In 4 years, when people start saying it about something completely different than Stephon Diggs, Maybe there's a popular band or musician, or there's a TV show and it comes out, you know, and they start, people start saying that. We'll just have to name this the Digs Dude Podcast. I think that's what we're going to name it. Just to make sure we're on that train. Don't want to get caught with our Stan, with me trying to prove that I created Stan. This is a funny what's on our mind, because we were talking about Tony Hawk soundtrack earlier, and I could have easily segued into this, but I'll wait. You know, I waited till now. So back to music real quick before we get back into Jeff's ruined year for fantasy. Madden 2004. Now, I used to play Madden all the time. I don't anymore. That's fine. And even when we go back to the Tony Hawks of our day, soundtracks were obviously a huge thing, because there was no Spotify on your Xbox or Pandora on your PlayStation that you could just play and make your own soundtrack to these games. You had to listen to what they brought you. And Madden 2004, I mean, just look at this list of artists that are on this soundtrack. Talk about Yellow Chantilly Card Cream. With Way Away. I mean, this is the Chantilly Cream Digs Dude for Life pod on the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Yellow Card with Way Away. Avenged Sevenfold with... Can you guess what song is on this soundtrack, so, if you have no recollection at all?
Chapter 4?
That is an absolute... What a guess. That is the sound... that is the song. And a great song. I mean, that whole album, Waking the Fallen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just a masterpiece. Just an absolute masterpiece. That is the Chantilly. I mean, that is a thing now. All right, so that song is on this this soundtrack. Jet with, of course, Are You Gonna Be My Girl. Outkast, I believe it was Churches from Speaker Box Love Below. So not even, you know, not Roses, not the overplayed Hey Ya. I mean,
B-O-B.
just a good, you know, hip hop song. AFI, can you guess what song was on this? From AFI, this is 04.
AFI, so what grade are we in 04? So we're
so sophomore.
So we're past kind of, this is when they, oh man. I'm trying to think of the, I'm hearing the song, but the name is escaping me. It's one of their hits when they're on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
Yep.
It's not the slow song, obviously. It's the fast song. No, I don't remember. What song?
No, it's not that one. It's not that one. It is the Leaving Song.
Ah. Oh,
part 2. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I don't like it. It starts off kind of so. Anyways. Anyways, it's from Sing the Sorrow. So there you go.
Yep.
Another banger. Thrice. I mean, woo! Come back to us. Just the absolute world. I mean, I'm just going down the list here. Thrice with All That's Left. I mean, from The Artist in the Ambulance. Oh, yeah. Can you even do better? I mean, yeah, could you have Stare at the Sun, but All That's Left. Blink-182 with little side note, this song, it's oh my gosh, now I can't even think about it. It was called Action when they first came out with this, but ended up changing the name of the song. Oh my god, now I can't even think of the name of the song. This is gonna freaking destroy me. Alien Ant Farm, and then Bubba Sparks. Bubba Sparks with the Back in the Mud. His pre Miss New Booty
feeling this
song.
Feeling
so that this. Yes, Feeling This. Thank you. Feeling This. Great Blink-182 song. But just did you just hear that? Just think of those songs.
Yeah.
High school. Sophomore year. I mean, introduced me to... That introduced me to Avenged Sevenfold. That soundtrack. I was re-listening to it on Spotify. I just went Madden 2004... Looked it up and just listened to the whole thing, and I was like, "Oh my god!" And it just brought back the memories, looking at my, you know, Drew Brees, Phillip Rivers quarterback competition, wow. In you know, Madden 2004, just bringing it all the way back. So music can really just take you to a place that you just, you know, you just can't really remember about. Love it. Soundtrack of our generation. That and Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I know that. That's great. It was real interesting. Another quick aside. I don't know how you've been, the aforementioned Karen, been keeping up. I don't know if you guys are doing Zoom calls or you're doing your FaceTime or how you're keeping in touch. But at the beginning of the whole pandemic, we started doing Zoom calls with Mike and Terry, who live 10 minutes down the street. And now I see them almost every single day.
Unbelievable.
But one, we also talked with Shay's cousin, who lives in Oregon. But they like hard music, and so we did like this answer. I don't remember what the questions were, but you had to think of three songs, and so it was hard. But one of the songs was like a nostalgia song, and I mean, I was considering some A7X songs, some Thrice songs, some AFI songs, and I was like, I had to find a song that kind of, you know, wasn't too crazy, too out there to like play, because you had to play it over the speakers, and it just, you wouldn't get the full zest of, I think, like a deadbolt if you played it via computer speaker. You need that full ambiance of being almost blackout drunk in the mosh pit to fully get it. So that's my quick aside. Well,
wait, what song did you choose?
I
thought this was leading up to the crescendo. No, like, what song was it?
There was no Chantilly Cream. There was no Chantilly Cream at the end. I don't remember which song it was. Clearly, it wasn't that great because there were just too many. That's why I hated the exercise.
It was obviously Six by All That Remains. That's what you chose.
Well, yeah.
Naturally. Oh, wow. Jinx on that. Move us down, Jeff. Fantasy players that you have no idea to think about.
I think we just need to get to the matchups. Well, we just need to hit them.
I guess so.
If we don't hit them,
so this,
we're not going to get to them. It's going to be a lot of.
This is actually surprise number two. Surprise number two. I had the bracket. You know, we had the winners, all that stuff. Yep. But you know what I thought to myself? No more cakewalks for these number one seeds, number two seeds. You know what? Let's get them into some trouble here. So, put them into a randomizer. Put our last eight songs into a randomizer, and these are the matchups that came out.
Oh, really?
Wow. Final eight, elite eight. Yep. No, there's no more seeds. As you can see, I took out the seeds. Well, all we know right now is Let It Go is the number one seed. That's really all we can really remember at this point. Go the Distance. The pretty much the underdog in this last elite eight here. Going up against a banger. I mean, really, these are all bangers. That's redundant at this point, the Elite Eight. You'll Be in My Heart, the Phil Collins jam from Tarzan. We know how we feel about both of these songs. Does Go the Distance make it to the Final Four, Jeff?
If I had my druthers, Go the Distance, they'd be making far. I'm choosing them. You'll Be Here in My Heart. I mean, it's a banger, but I don't. It doesn't weave one for one in the story. Okay, it's played when a gorilla is, you know, caring for Tarzan. Okay, and it's about the bond between a gorilla and a human. Which in all likelihood would have probably torn him limb for limb. So I have to suspend reality.
So now it's just not realistic.
Go okay. The Distance is obviously about a much truer story about, you know, a god who has been sent to Earth and made semi-mortal, but still has powers, and now has to go the distance, as it were, to prove himself a god. But I like Go the Distance. I think it's a good song. I think, you know, if one of those aforementioned Chantilly Cream artists, you know, I could see like an AFI doing a cover of Go the Distance and it being a banger. You'll Be Here in My Heart. It's fine. I'm not choosing to listen to it anytime soon.
Okay, let's just pump the brakes on this really quick. It's more than fine if we voted on it four times so far in this tournament to win.
If I had to be honest, had an easy road. Was overseed from the beginning and had an easy road. Okay.
I mean, this...
A three seed in the
hot
easiest,
takes.
Easiest region, You'll Be Here in My Heart. That's all I'm going to say. Of the songs left...
Can't even get the name of the song right, calling it You'll Be Here in My Heart. I agree. Now that I've had to suspend reality... gorillas and humans aren't necessarily the best mix, let alone of singing songs, of just living. I get that. Gods being sent down, turned into scrawny humans, but yet having a resemblance of their powers, also, I wouldn't say the best reality that we live in. I think we have to phone a friend.
Oh no.
I think we have to ask someone else, because I think I'm going "You'll Be in My Heart," and listen, "Go the Distance" is good, but I think I feel the bravado in "You'll Be in My Heart" a little bit more. I think I get more of the chills when I hear that song. "Go the Distance," a little too short, gets the point across, but I'm going "You'll Be in My Heart." So I'm going to reach out. I'm going to text the wife, even though she's just like you. I could Zoom her, even though she's 1 minute away. Or I could, you know, physically yell out. But I'm going to text her. I think you should do the same. I don't know what Shay's doing right now.
Yeah, she's working. She probably won't respond in time. But as you're doing that, Will, "You'll Be Here in My Heart" and just "You'll Be in My Heart" and "No Here."
Thank you.
You know, it's a fine song. I just always think of Phil Collins songs. You know, there's always those, it's kind of becoming a trope in movies where there's always like a scene where the Beatles have like a didgeridoo and like an 18-piece orchestra. That's how I imagine most Phil Collins recording sessions. Whereas like "Go the Distance," I don't even know who sings it or who composed it, but it's just a great song. Fits right perfectly. Great message. Like, in terms of love songs, or like, am I playing "You'll Be in My Heart" at my wedding for like my, you know, dance with my mom? Like, no, I'm not doing that. It's a fine song. "Go the Distance" is like, I hear it, I get chills, I get the goosebumps, but I have my biases. You have your biases. Let's get the tiebreaker here. But she hasn't seen Hercules, right? So this is not. This
we're
is not
we're picking. Band. We're this picking. Go the distance. Band. We're picking. Go the distance.
Okay, there we go.
You weaved a web. You wove a web for me, and you're right, there's no way she has any idea what song that is. So we're moving on. you are on one today, my friend. A lot of coffee. Passion. For Jeff today. Passion. "Let It Go." Let It Go. Not the song. Well, also "Let It Go," like let that go. Versus "Just Can't Wait to Be King," the Aaron Carter special, for those who, well, no one listened to last week's because you know, it never records. "Let It Go" versus "Just Can't Wait to Be King." I mean, is this the first real challenge for "Let It Go"? Probably. In my eyes, I just actually rewatched Lion King. I want to say 5 or 6 nights ago. Holds up. Beautiful movie. Songs are great. Just watch this too. "Let It Go." See, that's a song. They're both songs.
It's actually correct.
The messaging. I mean, the messaging, that's where you're at, right? You love the messaging in songs, really. I'm going "Let It Go." That's...
Oh, wow.
I love both songs. Yeah, I'm going "Let It Go." I think...
Oh, my gosh.
This is a tough matchup for The Lion King. I'm sorry. And they have two songs in this. Spoiler alert, Elite Eight. They might go over two if that's getting too far. I'm going "Let It Go." I think the song just is... The movie is what it has to be. It's a movie. I think I can just hear... I can see the theatrics. I love the visual effects during this scene. Although when she says "the cold never bothered me anyway," kind of rubs me the wrong way. I think it's just a better song. I think so. Jeff, put me down. Put me in my place.
Okay. This is a real look yourself in the mirror moment, Will. Okay. It's when you apply your criteria consistently, regardless of seed. Okay.
Oh no.
I have to say, messaging in both songs, not great. I mean, "Let It Go."
Whoa!
I mean, yes, she's being true to herself and, you know, but at the same time, she's turning her back on all those people who are depending on her for her guidance. You know, she's just says, "Fooey to you, Arendelle. I'm going to go live by myself because you guys judge me. And I'm just going to let it go." Not great. Jess can't wait to be king. Also is kind of like, I'm a spoiled rich kid. Here we go. I can't wait to be king. So what? So I can rule everything? Not great. So then it comes down to song composition and, within the movie, they both fit, right? They both fit. We can agree. They're both pound for pound. They fit within the movie. Eileen just can't wait to be king, but I'm not passionate enough to make a full-throated argument with it. If you went just wait to be king, I was going to go there, but let it go. Since you went with it, it's a banger. There is a crescendo in Let It Go that can just not be matched. It has all the Spotify listens for a reason. Just Can't Wait to Be King is probably, musically, probably a slight edge. But from a lyrics and a Idina Menzel perspective, I go Let It Go. Close one, though. Very close.
That was a
real look in the mirror moment.
That was a huge look in the mirror moment. I don't think we've ever heard that phrase. We've had 15 episodes, and I've never once heard of that take. Wow. Don't let Ashley Soisman hear this one, because I just asked her, and she is absolutely astounded at what we chose.
Well, she's a Frozen hater, again.
That's literally what she... Oh, wow, you are... Yeah. So her biases aside... we're going Let It Go. She even cursed on the text. So, yeah, you nailed that one right on there. But we're moving on. We're moving on to the next two. I mean, can we call this a matchup of, I don't want to say minorities, but I think you're going, know where I'm going with this one. Colors of the Wind versus How Far I'll Go. Two Disney princesses. Is Moana a Disney princess? I mean.
Yes, I mean, technically.
I guess so. I mean, two that are...
And in a Disney movie. So.
The outside looking in, I mean, if you just call it like I see it, they're not white. Two That's very, accurate. Very well-known songs. I feel like this is too easy for me. I think we have our... We have two dark horses at this point in the tournament, and... I think this one moves on. I'm going Colors of the Wind. I've only watched Moana once. Can't say I was huge into it. I only watched it because of The Rock. The story was okay. The animation was great. Girl can sing. Girl's got pipes. But I think I love Colors of the Wind. I love the colors of the song. I love the colors. I love the animation. The messaging is whatever. Have you ever been the outcast before, or I don't know what really is going on there, in my eyes, but Jeff, you'll get me with my mirror take there. I'm picking Colors of the Wind, and I don't think it's too easy to convince me otherwise.
Will? A song cannot win if it's not even the best song in its own movie. And to second that, you can own the earth and still all you'll own is earth until you can paint with all the colors of the wind, baby. Come on. It's one of the best kind of just, every time it gets me every time. I'm just like, God, I love the forest. What did we do to our world? Colors of the Wind, baby. How Far I'll Go is the number three song in its own movie. It's a fine song, but in terms of Moana, which I've seen many times. It's a fine song, and it's the ballad, but it was in a post Let It Go world trying to be too much Let It Go. So, Colors of the Wind all day, every day. The message, the song, the fit in the movie, the lyricism. It's great.
Take us to this last one, because is a doozy.
Woo! I could be persuaded either way. I cheated. Was looking ahead. I didn't give that last one much thought. I knew Colors of the Wind was taking it home easy.
Wow.
This one, I think I know where I'm going, but it's an interesting matchup. Will, on the one hand, we'll have "I'll Make a Man Out of You," a Mulan banger, versus arguably the most recognizable 3 seconds of any song of all time in Circle of all time. Life.
Exactly right.
The beginning, the within 2 milliseconds, you know the exact song, the movie. You're just drawn into your childhood, Circle of Life. It's got a great message. It's at, I mean, in terms of its fit within the story, it's kind of the, it's the intro banger. So it fits, but it doesn't like necessarily, it's not at a pivotal point for the character or the storyline itself. It's just kind of introducing the wild and everything. I'll Make a Man Out of You, on the other hand, it fits in the storyline. It's got that pep. It's got that tempo. It's also, you know, it's not as recognizable, but I think overall it's a better musical song. Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know where to go here. I haven't actually listened to Circle of Life in a long time, so it's hard for me to fully judge, but I enjoy I'll Make a Man Out of You, both from a montage within the movie perspective, and kind of the conflict that it creates in Mulan. And I'm not sure about the message of either song, so I think it's kind of moot there. So I'm going I'll Make a Man Out of You. But if you weave a web, Will, I'm willing to jump ship.
I think the way I'm going to decide this vote here is I'm going to ask you one question. And one question only. You said everyone knows the Circle of Life within the first 3 milliseconds, you know, first 3 seconds of that song. They know what song it is. However, and this is my question to you, what are those first 3 seconds? What words are those? Can you, like, what are they? What is the words? What are the words of the song?
You know, I even cheated and tried to look up the lyrics, and it doesn't even go, Na Sawenya. I don't know if that is, if that is some sort of, no, we're just getting off the rails, Swahili, or I don't know what dialect.
don't get crazy here.
So it is great though, because as an aficionado of the metal genre, sometimes, you know, just a good guttural scream gets you in the zone. And I feel like that's the beginning of Circle of Life. It's just like, I have no idea what you're saying, but I love what you're doing right now.
I'm literally lying down. I'm belly up right now in laughter. You're killing me today. You're killing me today. You're right, a good guttural growl really gets you going, and I'm not saying that facetiously. I mean, like, we've been to many, many, many a concerts where that's just how you get the party started. I think the cultural relevance aside, because, you know, this is 2020 and we can't really, you know, posing a woman as a man and yada, yada, yada is not really what we're supposed to be doing these days. But when I say cultural relevance, I mean the lyrics, you play that song, maybe it's not recognizable in the first 5 seconds because it's just a bunch of drums, but I think everyone between the ages of 12 and 35 know the chorus of that song, or know, let me rephrase that, know a random sentence in that song. Normally it's probably "Let's get down to business to defeat the Huns." That's probably the go-to sentence that everyone knows in that song. But there may be others that people think of when they're thinking "I'll Make a Man Out of You." And let me throw this to you. I don't know if you saw this, the Disney sing-along, you know, they've been kind of doing that thing on the old ABC. Do you know, are you familiar with this?
I've seen it. I don't think we've watched it yet.
They even brought Donny Osmond himself with his family to sing "I'll Make a Man Out of You," the original singer of that song. The relevance is still here. It is 2020. This movie was made in 1997-ish. You know, 97, 98, not really sure when. I'm going "I'll Make a Man Out of You," and it's personally my favorite song, my favorite Disney song, and it has a hell of a matchup coming up next in the final four. So I'm going "I'll Make a Man Out of You," Circle of Life, great run. 2 Lion King songs in the Elite Eight. However, both do not make it out.
Yeah. Well, I think think we made the right choice there. As I was singing through Circle of Life, I was like, I really don't like this song after the beginning.
Oh, wow.
So I think we made the right choice there.
How it made it this far, it must have had a You'll Be In My Heart route through the tournament. So there you go. We got the final four. Go the Distance, Let It Go, Colors of the Wind, I'll Make a Man Out of You. Quite a matchup. Two matchups we got in June for June Madness, unless we somehow record an episode in the next 3 days. Jeff, this was a doozy. And will it even post? Who knows? Because we are doing it different. We're adapting. And as far as I know, the quality was just top notch. Not once did you ever speed up for me. I don't know if I ever slowed down for you, but that's not going to matter with the way we did it. Anything lastly to add to our resounding pod here today?
No, it was good. I don't know, Will. I'm still thinking about Circle of Life and the amount of didgeridoos that were played in a studio while recording that song. But
were there vuvuzelas? That's what I'm kind of wondering.
Oh, I'm sure there were. Is that what's playing in the background in the Nasa way? Yeah, that's what I want to understand. But yeah, so do we now consider Zencastr an unofficial, official, partial sponsor of the pod or not? Because you were absolute quality this entire time.
Let's wait until this post. We cannot. We'll hear it. We'll hear it. One or the other. We'll find out if it's up to par. Of the the Joe Rogans and the Lebatards. We'll hear about that. That's for sure. We got a couple critiques that'll be coming our way, no matter what.
Sounds good. It was great to talk to you, Billiam.
All right, that was it. Thanks for listening. We'll try our best to make it happen again next week. But if not, just blame COVID. That's what I do. Peace.